Today we continue our study in a series of messages on the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians today will be chapter 4 from verse 17 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 to 24. Last time, if you still remember, that the message carried down from chapter 1 and 2 is more on the doctrinal teaching from Paul. The doctrinal teaching is focused on one point, that you and I, we are eternally loved by God the Father. And nothing can change that. And that love is so powerful that it's even overwhelming us. Even we sin, God loves us more than we sin against Him. And that is the foundation of the salvation and the foundation of God's love towards sinners. And because of that love, we are united in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross to abolish, to abandon the war, the dividing war between races, between culture, between different sectors in the society as well in the church. And we are made into one because God's will is to empower the church as a glorious body to demonstrate, to live out the will of God for this whole universe to see. Then a question comes to us. If that is the case and I am part of the body of Christ, how can I function as God intended? Should I possess a special set of skills? Should I learn or grow in certain way so that I can be part of that body? Today, this part of chapter 4 addressed to that fundamental issue and answer that question. How can you and I function as God intended in the body? Chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to your Bible. And while I read God's Word, would you please stand as I read God's Word to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understandings and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is the word of God. Please be seated. How can I function as God intended in the body? I think today, if you turn on your TV, you will see a lot of commercials. And these commercials, especially during game time, Super Bowl, or right now the NBA is getting more and more heated up toward the end of June. And then you see those advertisements, those commercials are more animated and more exciting. But have you ever thought of what they were selling? Take, for example, a bottle of water. You can have different brands of water, bottled water. You can go to the supermarket, there's a whole bunch of them, maybe a whole aisle for you to choose from. But if you look closely and look at the content of it, every bottle is the same thing, H2O. But the packaging, the image associated with the package, differs tremendously. And it will impact their sale. Madison Street knows about that and become a big culture driving force to drive us. When you driving down the highway, when you turn on the TV, when you open the magazine, you see all these advertisements is all about packaging and image. It is so profound to a degree that look at the way that we dress. And think about if you have a job interview, what is the first thing you think about? Do I have an appropriate dress so that I can go there and present myself in the way that will look good, and then I will have some advantage over other candidates? We are very much into the image building business. And to a degree that sometimes we forget about the content. Today, Paul answering that question, how can we function as God intended? He did not go down and look at what sort of skill, what sort of gift, what sort of talent that we're going to have. But he wanted to address the root issue, who you are. Because who you are determines what you do. However, our culture is giving us an opposite message. What you look like is who you are. And it set us to a wrong path that we worry so much about the image outside. We worry so much about our doing, and we forget about our being. And Paul here reminds the believer in the church of Ephesus. He says, so I tell you this and insist on it to the Lord in the Lord. The word insist is the same root coming from the word witness, which is related to the English word martyr. That means he is so focused on this one. And he thought this is so important that even though it cost me something, I want to tell you about this. And what is he going to tell us? That you must no longer live as the Gentile do in the futility of their thinking. You should live differently. You should live a very different lifestyle than the people around you. You should live a different life than the culture and the people surrounding you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, this is another place that Paul used the term Gentile to saying that Gentile lifestyle is a lifestyle that is ungenerated. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in a passionate lust that the Gentiles, NIV used heathens, but the original language is Gentiles, who do not know God. In other words, Paul is urging the believers that don't live the same lifestyle as the people and the culture surrounding you and bombarding you with the message. You should live a different lifestyle. Why? Because you are different. In what way you are different from them is a hard issue. In verse 18, Paul traces the root cause of sinfulness. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. In this sentence, you see that the hardening of the hearts is the root cause for all these things that result from that, which is ignorance, doesn't know anything about God's business, and then the darkening of their understanding and ultimately separation from God. So the root cause is the heart issue. No wonder in the Bible there's a lot of places that's addressing the heart issue. For example, in Prophet, in the Old Testament, Prophet chapter 4, verse 23, it said, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Everything you do, you think, you say, is coming from that heart inside of you. That is the root cause. And Paul wanted to address that issue, which is the hardening of the heart. Because the hardening of the heart leads to ultimately separation from God. The word hardening in Greek is the same word that in the medical term that we use today, porosis. Porosis means something harder than stone. If you use it in medical terms, sometimes with the word the sarcoidosis, that means something grow from your bone that becomes so hard that is harder than bone itself. And that grow has no feeling at all. So in other words, the hardening of the heart is the heart lost its capability of feelings. It cannot feel anymore. It cannot feel the goodness of God. It cannot feel the desire of God. It cannot feel the light of God. There's absolutely no feeling in it. So become callous. Become numb. Think about that. Think about that. Today you drive down the highway. You look at the billboards. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, some of those billboards will be a big scandal, will stir up a big storm in the society, in the media. Nowadays, it's nothing. And look at the explicitity of those advertisements when you turn on your computer. Sometimes these things just come to you. Because the more we indulge ourselves in there, the less we're going to feel the offense. And gradually, we don't feel it anymore. And we take it as business as usual. We treat it as normal. For those of you, maybe in a couple of weeks, you're going to go on short-term mission team to a foreign country. Maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. When you come back to the United States, pay attention when you walk through the airport, drive down the highway. These images, these messages, you probably will be shocked if you've been taken away from this context for a while. It is the hardening of the heart. In the Old Testament, in the Exodus, the hardening of heart happened to Pharaohs. To a degree that he doesn't feel anymore, and he engaged his whole energy, everything, against God. And Paul said, that is the root cause for the Gentile lifestyle. That is the root cause for an ungenerated life that you were once before. And he described that very clearly in the beginning of chapter 2 of the same book, Ephesians chapter 2. He said, in the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. This is something that you and I experienced before. And Paul reminded us, don't live like that. Don't live like that, because that is not the way God intends our lives. If you live a lifestyle like that, you will want more of those. And there will be no ending. So therefore, in this couple of verses, in 17 to 20, to 19, Paul is saying that the sinful lifestyle is an addictive lifestyle, because it will never really satisfy what we deeply need, the goodness of God. It takes us away from that wellspring. We take us away from that source, and then we keep drinking something for substitution. And that is why he said, having lost all sensitivities, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. It's endless. Allow me to use this explicit example. I think a lot of men, you experience that. When you turn on the internet, when you see those sexual image, sometimes we will lurk into that. The more you get into that, the more you want. and it's endless. And what is the result? People will ask, okay, this has only happened between me and the computer. I'm not hurting anyone. So why is it a sin? It is a sin because it is robbing you something that God created in you and intended for. That is why it is sin. Because sexuality God created in human being is meant for a loving relationship in the context of self-sacrificial love for each other. So that is what God intended for. If you taste the original one, the authentic one, all these things will be tasteless. That is why God created man and woman and ordained the institute of marriage. We have no right to destroy that. We have no right to redefine that. And when we attempt to do so, we keep using substitution. And that will lead to more and more destruction in a person's life. And that cycle continues to run. It's addictive. It's sucking us into that. And the purpose is to destroy all the goodness that God intends in our lives. And ultimately, dethrone God in our life. Because you are slave of another power. You've been driven by that power. Everything you do, you think, you struggle with, has been consumed by that power. And that is the power of sin. That is the power that Paul is talking here. And he urged us, do not live like that. So I tell you this and insist it on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You heard about stories during World War II that in the Pacific, some of the shipwreck, that some of the battleships, they've been sunk by the enemy, and then all the whole crew was spread out in the ocean. You know, for the survivor, what is the most difficult struggle and battle? Is to prevent themselves from drinking the seawater. They were under the sea, blazing sun, crystal blue ocean. When you were in there for a couple of days, you cannot believe that that water is not fit for drinking. But the moment you start drinking it, you start to dehydrate fast and you die fast. We've been surrounded by the sea water. And it's tempt us to drink that. But Paul urged us, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Why? Because within you, there is a new creation. In verse 20 to 24, Paul said, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You heard of Jesus, you taught in him. These heard and taught is more than just cognitive, intellectual level. Is Paul is saying that you have walked with him already. You know him, you accept him as your personal savior, you experience his forgiveness. That however dark and ugly that you see the inside of you, he loved you more than that. You may love your sin at the moment that you are sinning, but Christ loved you more than you love your sin. And you have experienced that love. So Paul urges, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the sinful desires, to be made new in the attitude of the minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The two verbs, put on and put off. Put off and put on, in the original language is past tense. That means it's an action in the past and once. It happened once. When you accept Jesus Christ, you already put off your old self and put on the new self. This is a similar language that Paul used in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This Paul is describing this put on and put off. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been free from sin. It is a language that we use in baptism. When we baptize in Christ, we baptize into Christ. In what way? We die with him, our old self, that he died on the cross. And we've been lifted up from the water, and we live a new life. We arise with him in his resurrection. The old self has died, and the new self has been created within us. In other words, each one of us, God, through Jesus Christ, has been putting this new creation in you. And that is why Paul urged the Ephesians, do not live a lifestyle like the Gentiles did. You are different. You are tremendously different. Then you might ask this question. Yes, I am a Christian. I've been baptized. I know about this fact that there's within me, there's a true self, a new self. But I'm still struggling with my sin. Yes, you are struggling with your sin. But you have to put that into the perspective that you already are a new creation. That creation is not what you did to yourself. It is given by Christ Jesus through his work on the cross. So in other words, when you fight against your sinful desire, when you fight against sin, you should not rely upon your old self, and you should not rely upon your own strength. But you should tap in and rely upon Jesus Christ, who created a new being within you. It is something that God did for you to make you new, to renew your mind. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. Ezekiel saw that. And Ezekiel, in his prophecy, provided this answer to God's people. He said, this is what God said through Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, the hardening heart, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The ability to follow God's decrees and keep his law is a God-given blessing, a God-given strength, a God-given new creation within us. Apart from him, we cannot do it. So what Paul is saying is, how can I function as God intended? Is we have to face the reality that we are sinful. But yet, within us, there is a new creation, there's a new power, there's a new strength that God gave us through Jesus Christ. And we have to face this fundamental issue every day. It is not about what you can do. It is not about what your talent is and your giftness is. It is about who you are in Christ before you can do anything. Do not substitute your doing and confuse that with your being. Because one day, when we face Christ, the only answer we can give to him that we deserve to be with him forever is not because of our ministry. It's because of what He did for you and me on the cross. You heard about my accident a couple weeks ago that resulted in this injury. That day was a very special day for me. A simple fall resulted in a severe injury. When I was in the ER, when they put me on all these things, those tests, and finally they put me through the CT scan. When the result came back, the neurosurgeon came down. He put me on surgical diet and put me on ICU. Then I knew, at that moment, I knew the severity because there's some bleeding in my brain because of the fall. And I was struggling with nausea, and I threw up twice. I still remember one of the time that I was vomiting. In my mind, I'm going through what? I was confessing. Because I do not know whether I can get out of the hospital. But there's so many things happening, but in my mind, there's one little thing going on, is constantly. Are you ready to face Jesus? At that moment, nothing mattered except my relationship with my Savior. It's not my ministry. It's not my position. It's not my title. It's not my degree. It is who I am in Christ. And I know that I am a sinner. So in my mind, I start confessing. And I told Jesus, I want to be right with you. And I know that I cannot do that by myself. The only way is I confess my sin and believe and trust in your work on the cross. Dear brothers and sisters, church has a lot of programs. Church may have a lot of vision and plans. These are good things, but do not substitute that for the fundamental. Doing cannot replace being. And that's why sometimes God leads us through tough time, so that the being will be surfaced and bring us back to Him, to the most fundamental and basic. Would you pray with me? I invite you to take a moment to pray for yourself. Let's put down all our ministry, title, positions. I'm not saying those things are not important. But in light of today's scripture, there's something much more fundamental. We cannot substitute our doing, our position, our image with who we really are in Christ Jesus. If you sense there's something in your life that's not right with Christ, this is the time that you come before the cross, confess your sin, because Christ is our all in all. St. Patrick of Ireland, once he wrote something, and part of it I think is very meaningful. As you are meditating and praying for yourself, let me read that to you. He said, Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friends and stranger. Let me read it one more time. Christ be with me, Christ within me. Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friends and stranger. Lord Jesus, you heard the prayer in our hearts. You know who I am. I might put up an image before other people, but before you, I cannot fool you. Today, we want your grace. We want to come again and approach the cross, just as who we are. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for transforming us. May that transforming power continue to work in our life so that the glory and fragrance of Christ may shine through. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.